The focus of these articles, Articles 11 through 13, are pastoral concerns. What is the effect of this teaching or this understanding of the Bible in your life? So in review, in looking at the first 10 articles, after looking at the biblical revelation of God's justice and mercy found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as man's responsibility and God's gracious salvation, the Synod of Dort defined the term election and proceeded to establish the basis of God's election. Like I said earlier, is if you are a biblical Christian, you can't escape the word because it's in the Bible. So it depends on how you define your terms. Then we went on in Article 9 that election is not based on man's future faith or his goodness or anything in man, but solely upon God's sovereign good pleasure. Romans chapter 9, for example, Boyce refers to Romans chapter 8 as the most beloved chapter in the Bible. And then he goes on to say, but chapter 9, the next chapter, is the most hated. One of the reasons for it is verses 11 through 13. For the children who had not been born nor had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And so the idea is God chose according to his good pleasure. Now we come to article number 11, which is the election of God as something that is unchangeable and sure. It is the foundation of our faith, and it brings encouragement and security to us, because if it is God who from eternity chose to save you, and the basis of your salvation is his, as it says there, it says his unchangeable, omniscient, omnipotent, most wise exercise of his will, then who can separate you from the love of God? And the answer is nothing. And so that brings to us a security. It can't be undone. It was done before you were created. God himself is the basis of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And then Article 12 moves on to speak of the assurance of election. Again, if you notice in their description, the emphasis is on the act of God. The elect attain the assurance of this, their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible or unchangeable, unfailing fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God. In other words, we look at ourselves, you look at yourself, and you see the work of God. You see the work of the Spirit. There is an understanding of your sinfulness, and you hate it because it's displeasing to God. There it says, a true faith in Christ. I am trusting in Christ alone for salvation. I do respect my Father. That filial fear is a godly, childlike fear or respect. I respect God. I honor my Father who is in heaven. I have a godly sorrow. Do you have that godly sorrow for your sin? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God? These are the works of the Spirit. Those who brought a complaint to the Synod, quote, said this, quote, you cannot know until the day of your death whether you belong to the final number because election depends on your faith. That's what they wanted to be able to teach. So you will never know whether you are truly saved or whether you're the elect until at the last moment of your existence. If you have faith, you are elect. And I've actually had friends growing up in churches that taught Arminianism, and they actually taught this. that you could be a faithful Christian, but the moment you die, let's say you're in a car accident and you blaspheme God, at that moment you're going to hell. Frightening. That if it's based on my faith, the election is based completely on my faithfulness and my faith at the moment of death, then we are in great terror and great fear. That's not the work of the Spirit of God. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. The articles go on. Article 13, what is our response to the election? Well, it's a humility. Notice that. The sense and certainty of this election afford to the children of God additional matters for daily humiliation before Him. That daily we are humbled with the understanding that I am saved because God chose to save me, because there's nothing good in me. We compare ourselves by others. I am not as bad as this person. I'm not as good as that person. We do that naturally. But salvation is not based on a relative act of goodness or even of faith. It is the grace of God. And so understanding election causes us humility. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a good person like me. I deserve the grace of God? No. Amazing grace saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I was dead, and He showed His mercy. Praise be His grace. It causes us to also adore the depths of His mercy. If it is God who saves, and it is God who saved me, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for noticing me, for calling me, for saving me. It also motivates us to cleanse ourselves and render grateful returns of ardent love to Him who first manifested so great love toward them. Isn't that a great statement? We love Him because He first loved us. And so understanding that election is the evidence of the love of God, then it causes us to say, I want to love you back. And finally, it also, this article refutes the attacks or errors in this doctrine. And so it says that this doctrine of election does not encourage remissness or laziness in the observance of divine commands, or causes men to rest in carnal or fleshly security, but rather it is one that drives us to love and to good works, or as we heard last week, the idea of be diligent in spirit serving the Lord. Amen.